performed by my plan, that's FEI, Schnackel Engineers Incorporated. ATA is an expropriation that the trial court attempted to incorporate in its property division in this case. And that's reflected on Exhibit 401, which is attached to the amended decree here. Specifically, what the trial court tried to do here was three things with respect to AEA. First, it attempted to value AEA, but found after reviewing expert testimony in this case that AEA's value was subsumed or incorporated into FEI's value. And that effectively all of the experts in the case unanimously concluded that those two businesses had to be valued together. And so what the experts did and what the court ultimately found is that those two businesses do have a value of approximately $3 million, and it then went on to divide that value among the parties, giving about $2 million to my client, Greg Schnackel, and giving about $1 million to Laura Schnackel in the form of an equalization payment that I'll discuss later in my arguments. The problem is that AEA was not named the party in this case, and specifically that is the duty of the plaintiff under Nebraska law. And because Laura Schnackel didn't add AEA as a party, my contention to this court is that the trial court really only had one thing to do here. It had the authority to divide the issued and outstanding stock of AEA, and it attempted to do that in this decree, but doing that was about as far as it could go. The other two things the trial court attempted to do here with respect to AEA were to divide any future issues of stock. To the extent that that happens in the future, we're not sure, but it said that any stock that is issued in the future must be divided 50-50 between the parties, ostensibly to make sure that the parties' positions couldn't be diluted in future issues of stock, and second, to divide what I will call speculative and hypothetical profits, whatever those
before you jump to that part, I want to take you back to what you just said about any future stock. Tell me how you are interpreting the court's statement. Laura is awarded 50% of all issued and outstanding capital stock in AEA. My understanding is there are 10,000 shares authorized and only 1,000 shares issued. So how do you interpret that?
Right, so I think it's important to note that basically what the trial court did here, it divided what it could divide. And I think that you'll notice the difference between what started as the original decree and the amended decree here. There's a difference in the way that the language is treated. But ultimately, I believe the difference between the decree and the amended decree is that it attempted to walk back the way it divided the future issues of stock. But in doing so, it didn't fix the ultimate problem, which is that the amended decree still purports to divide things that don't exist yet. And because those things don't exist, they have not been accumulated and acquired during the marriage. And because that hasn't happened, the court didn't have the decisions. I represented the court, and it's my contention today that that is active appreciation.
So, if a party inherits funds, and they get a check of inherited funds, they decide they want to invest it based upon some research they did into a mutual fund. By depositing it into that mutual fund, they automatically then are, it automatically becomes active investment to which the other stocks give.
The important point, I think, if I may respond to your question, Judge, the important point I think there is the extent to which we're talking about research and expertise utilized to invest the money. I think if all that's happening is an investment into a mutual fund that's controlled by someone other than the person making the investment, the argument tends toward not active appreciation. I think, on the other hand, you're actively choosing which stocks to purchase and sell or which money to transfer into which stock investment. The case is much better for active appreciation. I believe that we're on that side of the coin in this case.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. How long did we take counsel over?
1 minute.
Can you please add that to Mr. Hutchins' time? If he wishes to have it.
If I need it, thank you. May it please the court, I'm Edward Hutch. First of all, I'd like to introduce Laura Schnackel to the court. She's the plaintiff in this case. I'd also like to introduce a senior certified law student, Emily Dixon, who worked on this brief but wasn't senior certified, so her name's not on the brief, otherwise it would be. And she's going to be working at our firm when she graduates from Craig.
Welcome.
I agree that this was a hard case. There were a lot of difficult issues. There were a lot of contested issues. There were a lot of evidence on the contested issues.
Can I try to throw you right off the bat?
That's okay.
What's your interpretation of the phrase from the amended decree that I read about a stock?
She gets 50%. She gets 500 shares.
500 shares.
500 shares. But if Greg issues himself 1,000 shares for no more consideration, then Laura should get a proportionate amount. If other people come in and invest, no. The judge provided that any further investment into ADA was to be reimbursed to whoever made it before the value of ADA was then divided. So if going forward, Greg or SCI invests another $4 million into SCA and it is later sold for $20 million, that $4 million comes off the top and is reimbursed to whoever invested it, and the remainder is split.
Wait, where are you getting that?
It's in that 90-page decree. was unsure about some of that, and the judge found, because she was unsure about it, the judge found it should be included in marital. But the idea, and I guess this court has the opportunity to flesh out the Stevens jurisprudence, or take the first stab at it. I haven't seen any cases since Stevens that talk about what is active and what is passive, but when Stevens came out in the middle of this case, I predicted that there would be a whole group of cases deciding what is active and what is passive. And I guess you're going to take a...
You're in the cycle.
Right. The problem, and I'll say this, I was going to say this at the beginning, and I'll say it now, and I'll say it at the end. With the exception of the appreciation of inherited funds, Judge Wheelock worked really hard on this case. He issued that first decree, 90-page decree, within 2.5-3 weeks of the end of the trial, which, by the way, ended at 8 o'clock at night on Friday of the 8th day. We both filed motions to amend, or motions for new trial. We went back and had a long session with him. He issued his amended decree within a day or two of that hearing. He was able to evaluate the witnesses. He was able to evaluate the evidence on these contested issues. And with the exception of this Stevens issue, he got it right, and we would ask that his decision be affirmed. Not to say that I agree with every piece of it, but overall, I think he did a fabulous job. The problem with this case, and the theme of the trial, and the theme of this appeal, is Greg's position, if he wanted to minimize Laura Schnackel's contribution to this 32-year marriage, because she got a cleaning lady and had a nanny. She wanted to minimize her alimony because she didn't make the full contribution to the marriage that he did. Through some levels of artifice and deceit, he wanted to avoid, he wanted to reduce the value of SEI to make the loan from his mother a deduction from the value, to make the loan that he took out from the proceeds of the New York condo that was in Mr. Maloney's escrow account a deduction and an obligation of SEI, therefore reducing its value by a corresponding amount. And most of all, he wanted to avoid the responsibility of the $3.5 million we spent on his New York lifestyle with his New York wife. And when I say New York wife, I don't say that lightly. He paid, starting in September of just say this again. With that one exception, Judge Wheelock got it right.